Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest is a board-certified psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner who specializes in addiction medication. He says he has had experience with those who have experienced depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, heroin addiction, cocaine, meth, food, and porn addictions. But for today's episode, we're going to focus in on one particular issue. Did you know that 55% of Christian married men have admitted to watching porn on a regular basis? Our guest says this is a silent epidemic which has stayed hidden among Christians because we are not having the difficult conversations. But today, we will discuss the taboo behind porn and how a listener can overcome such a hidden addiction and protect their kids from it. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Mr. Isaiah Cruz. Welcome, Isaiah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk with you today.
Yeah, I'm thankful that we are on this subject because so many times we shy away from those things that seem scary. We don't know why people are doing it, or if you're actually involved in it, you're experiencing a level of shame. So let's get into it. Why is this happening?
Yes, good question. So I call it the three A's, affordability, anonymity, and accessibility. Because since the dawn of the internet, high-speed internet, we have free pornography at any time you want. So it's more accessible than any street drug or alcohol is. It changes your mood similar to those street drugs or alcohol. And it's completely anonymous. Nobody needs to know about it.
And that's dangerous when nobody needs to know about it, or you don't want to tell people about it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more. You said 55% of Christian men, married men, have admitted to actually watching porn on a regular basis. I think a lot of people would be shocked by that statistic.
It is. It is extremely shocking. And that's kind of what got me started into this. Because I've read statistics like that, 91% of men have watched porn in the last month alone.
Wow.
That's insane. That's just, it's mind-boggling. And like we just discussed earlier, it's not just a secular community, it's in the churches. So you go to church, you look beside you, half the men have watched porn. And not to say that makes them an evil person, because it doesn't, but it's difficult to wrap your head around that this is happening in our own churches.
Mm-hmm. And why do you feel like the church is not discussing this more?
Yes, that is something that I've ran into a lot of hurdles discussing this with Christians. The biggest issue. I want to talk to your congregation or your team about pornography use. And they're like, either one, we don't have that problem, or two, it's not a real addiction. If someone has that problem, they just need to pray more. And the science says something different, that this is a legitimate addiction. Since the dawn of brain imaging studies, there's been a study in 2015 that compared the brain imaging study of a cocaine addict and of a porn addict. The changes in the brain were almost identical. Changes in the prefrontal cortex, the executive function tends to decrease. Then there's something called dopamine downregulation. So these are the changes that we see in any addiction, but it's same in pornography addiction as it is in a substance addiction. A lot of people don't think pornography is addiction because it's not a substance, right? You can't withdraw from it. Well, there is some mild withdrawals, anxiety, things like that with withdrawal, but back to the dopamine downregulation, this is something that's really interested me. So a person lives in a dopamine high state. So they're seeking pornography and they're using pornography daily. They're releasing high amounts of dopamine. Well, your brain isn't made to live in that state. So what it does is it starts turning off dopamine receptors. So that way the brain say, hey, there's too much dopamine here. I need to turn off these receptors. So even though you're still producing a lot of dopamine, you're not absorbing that dopamine. So it starts to make a person more and more depressed because they're getting less pleasure out of life. And that's what any addiction will do. But that's what's more specifically to what we're talking about today, pornography addiction. And then that, and then because someone is used to a really high spike in dopamine, doing your ordinary things that you're supposed to enjoy in life, like hugging loved ones, exercising, doing things you're supposed to do, only releases a small amount of dopamine compared to pornography. So you get less pleasure out of life in general.
So it's like you're always looking for those highs. And that is steering from, because there is something going on in the person's life. So what are some of the things that may be happening in the person's life that leads them to want to look for addictive things?
Yeah, it's a mood altering substance was what dopamine is. So oftentimes people want to change their mood. I'm bored. Being bored is uncomfortable. It's not a comfortable feeling. Being angry, anxious, insomnia, irritable, all of these feelings that are uncomfortable that we want to get rid of. So what do? We turn to a substance, whether it be alcohol, some people turn to exercise, but oftentimes pornography will do the trick and it's a lot easier. It's nobody's home. I click on the computer, problem solved. My boredom is gone. My anxiety is gone. It releases the dopamine. I feel good. Now, how people got started in this, this is a whole nother thing, is the average age of first exposure to porn is 11 years old.
Wow.
So oftentimes these kids are starting, they're not ready for the amount of dopamine release, but they're not ready to be able to control, to control their impulses at 11 years old. So then it kind of sets them off on a bad path. Now, 11 is the average age. There are children who start younger. So 20% of all the pornography consumed by pediatric patients, so 17 and under, 20% are by 8 and 9 year olds.
Wow.
So it's under 10. So that's a lot. So
they're being exposed to this at an early age. It's not necessarily correct. That they're obtaining it, but they're being exposed by other people.
Both. I mean, it could be siblings, neighbors, people on the bus, or it could be curious kids, right? I'd imagine at that age, it's more so innocent. But there needs to be better standards on controlling the adult websites. So I'm a nurse. In order for me to get I believe it's Under Armour who does this. Does a first responders discount for a nurse, right? So in order for me to get that discount, I have to go to ID.me, submit my driver's license, my address, my name, my nursing license. Then I get this code I get to take to the website to get 5% off. Mm-hmm. Why can't we have that for adult websites? To ensure that it's adults looking at it and not kids.
Because they want it to be hidden, of course. That's
exactly. They want to get their hooks in early. But that's one of our end goals. NOAX, the business we're started. Obviously, we want to help people, but one of the end goals is to eliminate underage pornography consumption.
Because ultimately, if you can stop it at a younger age, you may not have as many adults consuming it.
Right.
And one of the things that you said that I think is very important is being able to sit in those uncomfortable feelings. How do people sit in uncomfortable feelings?
Yes. That's where therapy comes in. I'm a huge fan of everybody needs a therapist. I have a therapist. It's like, in order to be an adult, you need to be healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Those are like the four main things of being a healthy adult. And therapy is one of your emotional, it's like exercise for your emotions, being able to digest and deal with these strong emotions in a healthy way. Talking to somebody helps. So developing, we call them coping skills or tools in the toolbox on how to develop these uncomfortable feelings. Because I kind of teach my kids, like, it's okay to be mad. So-and-so hurt your feelings. That's okay. It's a normal feeling to feel what you're feeling right now. What can we do about it? So, and that's going to be individualized to everybody. Everybody's a little different, but that is important. It's a part of being an adult, is sitting with these uncomfortable feelings. And that's hard. Being an adult is hard.
Yeah. And especially when the message is out there, like, you don't have to be unhappy. Let's make you happy and let's give you this. And so we're substituting those things. But ultimately, when we look at it from the Christian standpoint, when we start substituting those things that are making us feel uncomfortable with things that we feel like will make us feel good, we're actually creating idols in our life.
Yeah. Yeah. We're turning to something to provide us pleasure or relief from a feeling we don't like. And that should be obtained through God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, a lot of people are saying, just pray more. But God did give us people like therapists to help us through. You know, all of us have different talents and abilities. I was just reading recently, so that we can help the community as a whole. And sometimes God is providing solutions, but maybe you can't see the solution because you need to get on the right path to see the solution. And so what is your recommendation for people who are currently facing these types of addiction? How can they start to move forward?
Yeah, good question. So therapy is the first line treatment for any addiction, right? So getting a good addiction therapist. Not all therapists are trained in addiction. So cognitive behavioral therapy is one of the top ones, and also motivational interviewing. These are two like subtypes of therapy that I recommend for addictions. So what we do is medication. And most people don't realize there is medication for pornography use. And how that got started is I was treating alcohol addiction. And the same medication treats pornography addiction. So after about two, three years of doing that, and of course, about 1 month, I had four or five guys come to me for refills saying, I'm no longer taking this for alcohol addiction. I take it because it keeps me away from porn. And you know, one is just like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Two is a coincidence. And three is like, come on, Isaiah. Some like God's hit me over the head with things like, come on, get with it. I started doing some research. There's been several medical studies done on several different medications, the two that we provide, naltrexone and citalopram, about how this can help with internet sex addiction. The first one, it helps by reducing the reward system. So you when a person, say they're going to check their work email, they open their computer, their brain has this Pavlovian response. The brain says, computer, porn. So what it does is it already starts releasing dopamine because it knows what's coming. Kind of like Pavlov and the dog ringing the bell, the mouth starts to water. The same idea happens in your brain when you look at a computer, open a computer, do something that your brain correlates to pornography. So it starts to snowball. So by the time, you know, you meant to go get on your work email, by the time you know it, you're on a pornography site. And that happened because of this. So this medication comes in and stops the snowball before it gets started. It helps with intrusive thoughts about porn in the same way. The second medication we use is sertraline antidepressant. A known side effect of antidepressants is decrease in libido. So people with high libidos, they'll have a decrease in sexual desire, and this will help with pornography use. Oftentimes single Christian, we do a lot of Christian colleges for that one. A lot of married men enjoy the other one because it has no sexual side effects.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how we got this is what we do, how we got started. The medication's not right for everybody, and we realize that, but we don't offer therapy ourselves. Why? Because people have therapists all over. There's great therapists out there in your locally and online. And there's not a huge, you know, there's not a gap in care there, but what there is a gap in care is in the medication aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we decided to do.
So a combination of therapy and medication can definitely help someone get on the right path. How do we get past the shame part of even seeking out someone?
Shame is a difficult topic. You have oftentimes just realizing you're not alone. is enough to get a lot of people out of the shame cycle. And you have to basically realize that this is going to cause more damage than shame is going to. So mm-hmm. when a person realizes that, oftentimes it's usually that their spouse catches them, or their spouse is going to leave them, or something like that happens, and they realize that continuing to do this is going to cause more harm than the shame will. And that's typically the turning point, when it becomes more uncomfortable than change, is when somebody decides to change.
So there's a warning there for people. If you need help and you're feeling shame, don't let it get to the point where you're facing drastic decisions, because nobody wants their family to be broken up because of an addiction. And so the time is now to seek the help that you need. And also, like you said, you're not alone. And so if you can get past the part that you're not the only one that has experienced this, then just maybe you can get the help that you need, because it's so important. Anything, like we said earlier, that takes us away from God is an idol. And so we have to be so careful about what we are allowing in our lives, and not just dismiss it as, oh, this is just something I do here and there, because eventually it becomes a regular thing. And so it becomes habitual. So we talked about the 55% of married men. How does it start? Is it, I watched it once a month, or every few months, me and my buddies got together. And then when does it become habitual? Like watching it every day, once a month? What are the statistics on that?
Yeah. So that's a good question I get often. How do I know I'm a porn addict? Like, what, when do you cross that line? And well, first we have to define what an addiction is. And I define addiction as doing something that's harmful to you, mm-hmm. wanting to quit and being unable to. So by that definition, I use this guy as an example. I treated him a while ago. Christian guy, went to church, played in the church band on Sunday. He would watch porn once a month, once every 3 months. Go to church, feel horrible, feel like a hypocrite. Like, you know, just the horrible feelings you get from sin. Mm-hmm. And this went on for 10 years. And he, by most people's standards, this guy wouldn't meet a porn addict. You know, watching porn twice a year, three times a year. Like, that's not a porn addict, right? Well, to this guy, it was. And we finally got him on medication, and he's been doing well since. So it doesn't have to be the daily pornography users. You have to identify, is this hurtful to me? Well, people don't know it, but it is. And then you have to stop. And if you're unable to stop on your own, then we have to get some help. And that's really what it boils down to. And then I've been on a lot of different podcasts, Christian and non-Christian. This one guy, not Christian, he's like, what's wrong with porn? I watch porn every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm like, all right, I'm not here to tell you there is, but you should know the facts. And not everybody who's on that porn set is there willingly. According to the National Human Trafficking Hotline, pornography is the third most common form of sex trafficking in the U.S. And that right there is enough for a person to say, hey, this isn't okay. Who am I hurting here?
Right.
I'm contributing to this. So that right there is enough to say it's harmful. Increase in sexual expectation from your spouse or loved one. Like, once you view pornography, you have increased expectations that pornography is not real. They call them actors and actresses for a reason. So it's going to harm your marriage. And then, the quote that changed my life is, you have to be the man you want your daughters to marry. And I have four daughters, and whether or not they ever knew, found out that I watched porn, they're going to seek out a guy like me. Right. So all the hidden things will eventually, you know, come out in their spouse, because they're going to find somebody like me. So that's what really hit home for me. And I knew I had to change.
Wow, that is so important right there. And I hope people are really listening. Who do you want your children to be? And are you reflecting that? And if whatever you're reflecting, they're going to go out and connect with the same thing. So if that's not what you want your children to be or connect with, you have to make the change in yourself. Wow. I mean, that's powerful. Also, let's talk about briefly how parents can prevent their children from engaging in porn at such an early age.
Yeah. First thing you need to do, and some people think it's awkward, is to talk to your kids about it. I would say it's only awkward if you make it awkward. Because if you don't talk to them about it, obviously by age 10, 11, they're going to be exposed to it. So one, give them the definition. This is what pornography is. Define it. Give it a word. Give it a name. And then give them what you expect for them to do if they are exposed to it. Right? I expect you to identify it. You know, this is pornography. Turn around and come home. Or if you're at home, turn off the computer, turn off your phone, come talk to a parent. And then you as a parent have to do your part and not get mad. Because, you know, if your neighbor kid, older brother, exposes your 9-year-old to pornography, you have to behave in a way that isn't going to throw any red flags at your kids. So if you call up your neighbor's parent and start yelling at them and screaming at them and being all upset, right there, you told your kid that you're not safe to talk to. So you have to create a safe environment for your kids to have these difficult conversations with and say, so-and-so, that they had what you call pornography. And I stopped and I turned around and came home. Wow, thank you for telling me. How did that make you feel? You know, oftentimes kids will have just a sour feeling in their stomach because they know what's wrong. They're like, this is wrong. I should not be doing it. And help them identify what these feelings are. Like, this is your conscience. This is God telling you. Like, this is wrong. You got to listen to that. This is what's going to guide you. So more on a more practical note, internet blockers, they have amazing ones. They can block your, filter your internet at the IP address. So anybody on your Wi-Fi will have an adult content filter. I recommend that for the younger kids. As your kids get older, I recommend switching to an accountability software like Covenant Eyes. So it doesn't block anything, but it's any risky sites, it sends an email to certain people that you select. So and my reasoning is give your children enough room to make mistakes while you still have sway over them. So you can have these difficult conversations. Hey, I looked up on the internet searches and this is what I found.
Yeah,
this is going to be kind of awkward conversation, but let's talk about it. This is why pornography is bad. You know, some of those people aren't there willingly. They're sex slaves. That's not okay. This is why we don't watch porn. While you still have sway on them, as opposed to blocking them until they turn 18, go to college, and then they have free reign on everything, they're not going to be able to. It's harder to control yourself as opposed to bringing it up in a culture where we inspire discipline.
Thank you so much for sharing those tips. Parents, I hope you're listening up, because this is important. If you want your children to go in a certain direction, you have to be active. You can't be dismissive of this. You have to take an active role in what your children are being exposed to. Isaiah, you have given us so much great information to digest, and we're getting ready to wrap up your interview. But what is the one thing that you absolutely want people to know when it comes to dealing with addictions and porn in particular, as well as the church? How can the church be a part of combating this?
Usually the final thought I leave is kind of what I talked about with your kids. Have these conversations with your kids because they're going out to a world that's going to beat them up. And you have to give them some tools to defend themselves. It's a porn saturated world. And if you don't give them tools, they're just going to get washed into it. So you have to give them what best tools is possible to help them have a chance at overcoming a pornography filled world. So as far as the church, I don't have any good answers. You tell me, because I'm trying to get into the churches and I keep getting roadblocks all the time saying, no, our church doesn't have this problem. You know, it's not a real addiction. That's good. I keep struggling with it. I don't have a good answer for it other than we need to have these conversations. And people need to, you know, churches need to have a pornography addiction recovery, a place where people can go, whether it be anonymous or not. Like churches need to just not put their head in the sand and realize that this is a problem.
Yeah. CWS audience, you have heard him. We have some work to do. And my challenge is start doing the work. You have to open the door so these discussions can happen. If you keep it behind closed doors, if you're trying to keep it hidden, it is only going to get worse. Our families, our men are in trouble. It's up to us as a community of Christian believers to help. Let's step in. Let's start having these awkward conversations, not only with our adults, but also with our children, so that they can have tools to combat the enemy. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.